This podcast is brought to you by the Premier Surgical Office-Based Surgery Center on Paper Mill Drive in Knoxville. Excellent care designed for patient comfort and convenience.
This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Drew Richmond getting some work there at right tackle. Does that mean he's going to play right tackle to start the season? No, that means you don't know what's going to happen with Chance Hall. You don't know what's going to happen with Jerome Carvin.
Marcus Tatum.
You don't know anything. Marcus Tatum has been working in tackle, and what if he plays well? What if you can put Tatum in tackle? You can put Drew Richmond in tackle and keep Trey Smith at guard, and you put Ryan Johnson in guard with Brandon Kennedy in the middle. Again, it's about finding the right five, the best five that plays together at the highest level. So you're seeing some cross-training to prepare for injuries, to prepare for situations that may come up during the course of the season. So don't freak out. Don't think that this is a permanent position. You're just getting some work. It's no different as a wide receiver who was a flanker, who played one position and learned that, and then once he became familiar with that one position, you say, you know what, let's work you in the slot. Let's work you in the slot, see what you can do there. Or let's work you a split end on the opposite side, see what you can do there. It's really not a big difference. But no one notices that. Wait a minute. Marquez Callaway's in the slot. Wait, Brandon Johnson's on the outside. No one stops and thinks about that at all. But Drew Richmond going to right tackle instead of left tackle, it's a conversation.
My thing with, I'm somewhat excited about Drew Richmond moving the right tackle, although it's probably one of Jeremy Pruitt's experiments.
You need to explain yourself for this one.
Here's why.
Okay.
Because I would rather have Trey Smith at left tackle than left guard, because I trust Trey Smith to protect Jarrett Gordon-Tonnell's backside more than I do Drew Richmond.
Okay.
So, quite simple as that.
Yeah.
Now, I would much rather prefer to see Chance Hall / Marcus Tatum at right tackle, put Drew Richmond at left guard, and let Trey Smith play left tackle. And then you would have Brandon Kennedy at center and likely Ryan Johnson or Jerome Carvin at right guard. I think that would be a very formidable offensive line for Tennessee. But that's my thinking behind being excited about Drew Richmond at right tackle, because I would much rather, I think while Trey Smith is going to handle his business no matter what position on the offensive line, I want Trey Smith at left tackle. I want Trey Smith. Cole, you said it earlier in the show, Cole Kubelik views Trey Smith as the best offensive tackle in the SEC and the best offensive lineman in the country. I want that guy protecting my quarterback's blind side.
How often do you foresee Trey Smith switching between guard and tackle this season? Because Jeremy Pruitt has said, we're going to put him where he's needed.
Depends on injuries and performance. I think that's where I think Trey Smith will find himself. For this game against West Virginia, I like Trey Smith playing guard. I like him being right there alongside Brandon Kennedy, who has been developed in the weight room at Alabama for 3 or 4 years. And I like Trey Smith, who's
right
a
up the middle,
grown-ass man. And I like being able to say, I formation, dive, off guard. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it all day long. And let's go get 4 yards.
And you have a lead blocker in Austin Pope or Jaquan Blakely?
That's what I prefer in this game. I prefer not having to throw the ball 40 times and needing Trey Smith at tackle. I prefer Drew Richmond in his, damn third season to be a guy that can hold his own to tackle. He's a dang five-star tackle. So, at least be able to hold your own for the most part. It's not like you're playing up against a Florida defensive end or Alabama defensive end. You're going up against West Virginia.
And West Virginia's best linebacker is David Long, and he's 5'11". And I want Trey Smith's massive frame, Brandon Kennedy's massive frame, being the lead blocker on him. Because if you eliminate him, you should be able to run for 150, 175, 200 yards on West Virginia.
Let me stop everybody. Are y'all feeling it? Are y'all feeling it? Are you feeling it? Huh? Huh? The Peter Griffin? Huh? Huh? Are y'all feeling it? I know you are. we're getting closer to the game, and you're getting a little bit more confident that Tennessee's going to win. Are you feeling it, Ben?
After the show yesterday, I looked at Swain and I said, I know we're getting closer to football season because I'm getting more and more confident in Tennessee's ability to actually really play with West Virginia. And I still maintain that I think West Virginia wins that football game. As fall camp has gone on, my confidence in the offense's ability to put up some points on West Virginia has increased dramatically. And while I think the offense will be able to move the football in West Virginia, the question for me is still, will they be able to score enough points to match West Virginia? Because I'm down on West Virginia's defense, but I'm high on West Virginia's offense. I think they're going to create some serious mismatches and problems for Tennessee.
I can tell you through my website posting, we did team previews for West Virginia and Florida. Through those two, I'm feeling like, ooh, this Tennessee could surprise people. Look at this. They're pretty decent matchups here with Florida and West Virginia. I mean, this could absolutely happen. Tennessee could be 4-0. Yesterday, and I'm going to put it out a little bit later today, did the preview for Georgia. And, boy, that'll make you come back down to earth, I'll tell you. I'll tell you that much. Now, Georgia lost a lot of leadership, and that could be a big difference. But I would say Tennessee's not there quite yet. When I looked at the chasm between the talent on Georgia's team and Tennessee right now.
The what?
The chasm, the divide, the difference between Tennessee's level of talent and Georgia's. Would it be impossible to beat Georgia? Absolutely not. Will it take a nearly perfect game from Tennessee and a bad game from Georgia to beat Georgia in Athens?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Boo. Tennessee ain't played a game yet. Georgia ain't played a game yet.
That's true.
West Virginia.
All right, Jalen.
West Virginia. That's the first game of the season. We don't know how Tennessee's going to play. We don't know how West Virginia's going to play. And we damn sure don't know how Georgia's going to play against Tennessee in August. We just have no clue. On paper, yeah, West Virginia looks great on paper. But I think Vol fans are starting to figure out, when you're hearing reports about what's going on in camp and you're hearing about the formations and how guys are beefing up and you know, if you've been a Tennessee fan for more than 10 years, you understand what Tennessee football is all about, and that is punching folks in the mouth, running the football. And defensive coordinators who are head coaches believe in running the football because they know when that chain is moving, when that first down hand sign goes up from the referee, his defense just got an extra three downs to make adjustments and for his defensive players to catch their breath. And so we're not going to throw the ball a ton, and if we don't have to, we shouldn't. Jim Chaney ain't the head coach. We don't need to do all that. We got Trey Smith. We have Brandon Kennedy right there on the offensive line. You got one of the best, I think, offensive line coaches, and I'm going to say it because I know what I saw when I saw Sam Pittman here. Mm-hmm. And I think Will Friend is one of the best offensive line coaches in the country. I'm willing to say that. By the development that I've seen in offensive line, his coaching, I'm willing to say that. The dude can coach my offensive line now. I'm watching him on two eyes. And I remember watching Sam Pittman here at Tennessee. Them dudes can coach offensive line. Ain't no doubt about it. The recipe for beating West Virginia is hitting them in the mouth. Hitting them in the mouth. Their linebacker is
5'11".
How many pounds does he weigh?
I do not know that. I'll look it up. Now, I will say he is a small – for a linebacker, he's very small. But the kid is absolutely talented. I mean, he's a second, third, fourth round pick.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm not.
I know. I just want to knock the kid. Yeah. I don't want to.
You gonna play
220?
You gonna play a group of those in the SEC every year?
5'11", 220.
5'11"?
220.
220.
And he's their best defensive player.
220. Like 220 pounds.
Correct.
Like 220.
220.
Or did you round down from 224?
Mm-mm, did not round down.
So 220.
220.
So 1 pound away from being 219.
Correct.
Man, please.
And he's going to be going up against Trey Smith, who is 6'6", 320. Please. And Brandon Kennedy, who we finally have an offensive lineman outside of Trey Smith on campus that looks like an SEC offensive lineman.
Man, please. 220.
And, yeah, Brandon Kennedy, 6'3", 302. Trey Smith, 6'6", 320.
Can you tell me how many pounds Jawan Jennings weigh? Just let me know. Just let me know how many. How much does Jawan Jennings weigh? Just, you know, do your Google thing over there.
220.
Jawan Jennings, 220? Huh?
Yes.
Like 220?
220.
So basically,
Jawan Jennings is their linebacker.
Brandon Kennedy and Trey Smith will be blocking Jawan Jennings in the middle of the field.
Essentially.
In the trenches.
Essentially.
Be able to squash that guy.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. 3-3-5, that's the defensive formation?
3-3-5.
Mm-hmm. Middle linebacker, 220 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right, yeah.
Brandon Kennedy update there. He's 6'3", 305.
Yeah, that was on Google. I'm checking Jawan's weight on UT's official roster. He's actually 221.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So Jawan actually weighs more.
So, packed on some weight since last time he was weighed.
So I'm supposed to be afraid of West Virginia.
I'm pulling up West Virginia's roster. I want to look at the size of their other linebackers.
I said my entire take on West Virginia is their offense is going to put up points. That defense, at a glance, is trash. It's not there. So Tennessee's going to have a chance to put up points.
Tennessee, take care of the ball. Play silent special teams. Punch them in the mouth. You got a good chance to win this game. And I know we are way early here, but like this West Virginia hype and Tennessee getting trashed because of what they did last year. Yeah, that's part of it. It's the preseason. But that was a 4-8 team last year. This is not the same team. And you know, folks over here all scared of West Virginia. I'm sorry. Give me Brandon Kennedy and Trey Smith with their middle linebacker weighing 220 pounds. not 229 early in the morning. You know how you weigh yourself early in the morning. The belly's empty. You know, you just got the drawers on. You're real light in the morning. You 220 at night after a buffet. You 220. Come on, man. No. How are you going to battle guard to guard in the middle of the football field? How are you going to battle guys like Brandon Kennedy and Trey Smith? No, man.
So, looking at
it.
West Virginia's roster, looking at their linebackers, I'm just going to read off their weights. 225, 222, 221, 217, 213, 225, 236, 229, 240, 228, 232, 235, 222. So a lot of 220.
That's a Big Ten defense,
and
I heard.
They have
Big 12.
Or Big 12, sorry.
They have one linebacker over 6'2".
Man, these boys are light in the britches. This is something I can hear Jordan Pruitt saying because he's country.
And I think it is fair to point out that in West Virginia's defense, Tony Gibson, their defensive coordinator, they go after the quicker, smaller linebackers rather than the
– because they play in the Big 12.
Correct.
Yeah, you have to recruit for your conference.
Correct.
Yeah, you have to do that. Just like Tennessee, you got to recruit bigger guys because you're going to play against bigger guys like – Georgia and Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he had a lot of injuries and stuff like that. And, you know, 2016 and 2017 game against Alabama was absolutely embarrassing. You got bullied. You got punked pretty much because you're just too small. So, excuse me if I'm not bowing down to West Virginia with those group of linebackers
and
light in the pants. I mean, they need steak sandwiches.
To put it in perspective, Jordan Allen, what's kind of, I don't know if knock is the right word, but the big thing he needs to improve on as an outside linebacker is probably needs to get a little more weight in the britches, right? He's kind of not too small, but he's on the smaller side for a linebacker.
And he gained 30 pounds since he got here.
He weighs 242.
Yeah.
He would be West Virginia's heaviest linebacker. Oh. Kongbo, 254. Austin Smith, 246. Darrell Taylor, 247. Daniel Batuli, 244. So you can, I point that out to point out the difference in recruiting in the Big 12 and the SEC at linebacker.
I know what someone's going to say, but you can kill him with speed. You can't run around blocks.
You never run around Trey Smith.
You can't run. You can run around Trey Smith. you can run around them, but you can't run around blocks in the interior because then you open up holes.
Right, that's
you
what I was referring to.
You have run fits that you have to execute if you are on the defense. And so you got to take on them blocks. And when you take on that block, what do you think is going to happen when this middle linebacker meets Trey Smith?
And West Virginia is a risk-taking defense. I read an article the other day about David Long, and the whole purpose of the article was pointing out that David Long is an awesome football player, but for young players, he's not one that you should probably watch film of because he likes to take chances. He doesn't stick to his gap integrity. He doesn't fill the hole that the play is designed to. He likes to take risks and fill other holes that he thinks the running back is going to come through.
Yeah.
And with I think Tennessee's offensive line and running backs are in a good situation going into this football game.
Trey Smith would do this because he's an old country boy from Jackson, Tennessee. But I have a good feeling that Trey Smith will be serving some pancakes against West Virginia. And I think it's about somebody serving pancakes. I think about Prince.
Do you know if North Carolina has good syrup?
I don't know.
Is North Carolina known for their syrup?
I don't know. I know they
not
have
that it. I know of. No.
I don't know. But I can see Trey Smith. I would do it if I was Trey Smith because it would be funny. But I don't know if he would do it because he's a country boy. I could see him pulling a Dave Chappelle skit. And every time he pancakes someone, going, ow! Like Prince. Like, and then saying, hey, you want some pancakes? You want some pancakes? Like the little Dave Chappelle skit. Because he's going to be serving pancakes against these boys. 220 pounds? Come on, man. Who we got there in the line?
T-Carp.
Got me all hyped up this morning, man. We don't even play for 16 days.
16? That's Peyton. Peyton Days.
Between
Tennessee football.
220-pound middle linebackers and Vol Nation last night or yesterday morning. I'm all fired up, man. T-Carp, good morning.
Hey, good morning, buddy. I wanted to hit on a few points. Wanted to ask you about the scrimmage. I was just reading through a few articles, and it was talking about Mondre London and how he was. Some people were thinking that he might be a great like third down back. I had expectations of him of almost being the starter. Oh, am I just a little too high on this guy? What are your thoughts?
Well, T-Carp, you know, I got much love for you, but you also had expectations of another newcomer coming in and being the starter. I just think that you became a little victim of the new guy on campus and just threw him in and been the starter. I think Bondre is going to be one of the three top running backs. But him and Tim Jordan and Ty Chandler, I think those guys will be used the most in our running back room. You know, we didn't have a huge problem at running back. Ty Chandler did a really good job filling in for John Kelly. Ty Chandler is a game breaker. He's special. You know, Mondre London is not at Michigan State for a reason. You know, if he was a starting back, he would be at Michigan State. And so he's coming here so that way he can have a better opportunity. Maybe he just wants a fresh start. Maybe he wants a new environment. But if he was the guy, if he was the number one running back, then he would still be at Michigan State. So he's going to be important. He's going to be a contributor. He's going to be one of the top three running backs that we use in a rotation.
Okay. And my last one on the way out, if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you're basically the defensive coordinator. How do you go at West Virginia? If I'm the defensive coordinator, I don't like playing, let's give them a cushion and just keep them in front of us. I like, hey man, I'm going to make you fit these throws into super tight windows, and I'm going to have a guy in your face every time. And if you beat us, then you beat us like that. But that's my philosophy if I'm playing these guys. I just don't want to give them any space to make a throw and then make a guy miss and then just kill us down the field like that. That's just my opinion, and I want to hear yours. I'll see you, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What I see Tennessee's defense doing is what Pruitt did in the second half of the national championship game. And that's, hey, man, we're not going to let you just sit back and just make throws and do what you want to do. We're going to make it uncomfortable. I don't think that our corners, if we're playing off and we're playing passive, will be able to guard, you know, West Virginia if you just let them throw. You can't give those guys 4 seconds. Will Greer's too good. Those receivers are too good. You can't do that. You need to get up in their face. You need to punch them in the mouth. You need to get physical with them. You need to hit Will Greer early and often. I'm okay with a little 15-yard penalty to start the game, a little late hit, something like that. Just set the tone. Don't do it on third down, please. Do not do it on third down, Emmett Gooden.
I was about to say the same thing.
Emmett. Just make sure Emmett ain't on the field on third
down. Yeah, just don't put him on the field on third down.
Just keep Emmett off the field on third down.
You can play first and second.
Yeah, just keep him off the field on third down, you know, if he's going to do anything that he did there on the last chance you. We can't have him getting first on the foul and extending drives, okay? But I'm okay with a nice little, you know, rough hit on the first and second down to just let Will Greer know that I'm here.
Give Will Greer the treatment that Derek Barnett gave Dylan Thompson in that South Carolina game.
Yes. Yes.
Drag him around a little bit.
Yeah, that is what I'm doing.
Go to the echo of the whistle.
Yeah, I'm bringing that funk, man. I'm bringing the funk. You ain't going to just sit back and just play passive. But on the other hand, I don't want to put myself in the position where one missed tackle is a touchdown. You bring everybody. You have a blitz reaction. Quarterback throws a quick slant. DB misses a tackle.
Or makes a play on the ball.
And now the receiver is off to the races. He scored a touchdown. I'm okay with, you know, bringing some pressure, but also keeping some things in front of you as well. And so, man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to play this game, Ben.
And you bring up a good point of making sure you make the tackle, because that's one – in watching West Virginia, that's kind of one of the underrated parts of their receiver group is David Sills is 6'5", 6'6", and tall and lanky, but he makes a lot of guys miss. And so does Gary Jennings. And that receiver room, they got a lot of future pros on their team. And Tennessee secondary is going to have their hands full.
Yeah. They got
to be easy.
We got a guy back there, number 18 – I might have a little something to say about that, too.
Yeah, I'd love to see Nigel give a good lick to David Sills or Gary Jennings over the middle of the field.
Yep. We will take another timeout here in the Swain Event, Hour 3, powered by Low T Center. LowTCenter.com, reinventing men's health.
Hour 3 of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Up goes your car insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. It's not available in all states.
We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells in what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy. We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now, what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
At work? Can't call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
All right, taking a look at the text box, Brave Volunteer says, Trey going to play the entire West Virginia team. Let me go back. Trey's going to play like the West Virginia team stole his iPhone.
Before he was a player at Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that video
when he beat up that kid at the
Under Armour All-American game?
Oh, yeah, at the hotel. Oh, yeah, I remember. Ooh, man, it was
kid
ugly.
Reportedly, allegedly stole his iPhone. And Trey had some,
some words with him.
So what I will do, I will be in Charlotte for the game. So what I will do is I will find a way to break into Trey Smith's hotel room, steal his phone, and leave a note saying that David Long was here.
Yeah. David Long did it.
Yeah. Or I could just like wait outside of Trey's room. That way when he runs out looking for somebody that stole it, I could be like, I saw some West Virginians run down that way.
David Long, the middle linebacker who weighs 220
It looked like
pounds.
David Long. I think he's like 220 pounds, 5'11".
Yeah. Yeah. 1 pound from 219.
Juwan Jennings weighs 1 pound heavier.
Yeah. 1 mil from being 119. 1 mil from being 219. Playing middle linebacker against an SEC offensive front. Okay. We'll see. Doug says, if you win the coin toss against West Virginia, do you receive or defer, and why? I think I want the ball and immediately punch them in the mouth to try to establish the run game, slow the tempo, and take away their momentum. I'm okay with that. I would understand that move 100%. I really would. You don't want Will Greer on the field. Good way to make sure he's not on the field, take the ball and run the ball. Eat up some clock. Turkey Man is on the B-Drive waterproofing hotline. Turkey Man, good morning.
Good morning, individuals.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I tell you what, we could talk about time management. Or we could talk about you hiding under the desk behind your computer. I could discuss that. Or we could talk about to charge the hill with a club or not charge the hill with a club. But, you know, I was going to talk about mental rips.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I think it's time that we send Nike back to the hills of East Tennessee and screenshot the rifleman and put the rifleman on the helmet for that first game against West Virginia. The rifleman against the mountain man from West Virginia.
Hey, if that helps win, I'm cool with that.
Reps.
I'm cool with, you know, using some old school logos and using some retro vintage.
Well,
Tennessee
that's their go-to mascot, and I just think that that would be the time if you was ever going to put the rifleman on the helmet. That would be the time.
Yeah, their mascot is the Mountaineer. I mean, he doesn't really have to wear much of a costume at all.
No,
and he looks like he smells too.
We put Trey Smith as a rifleman.
He doesn't look like that. The Mountaineer mascot
looks like he got food in his beard.
But he looks like he needs some Axe body spray or something.
Is it fair to make fun of the West Virginia mascot when we kind of have one similar running around on our sideline?
But theirs look like he smells. Ours look like he at least put on some cologne.
He's been to the barbershop.
He just look funky.
Guys, I'll get out of here. Have a good
one. All right, see you, Turkey Man.
He just looks... Yeah.
He looks musty.
Looks raggedy.
Yeah, he looks musty.
Yep.
Sour armpits. Yeah, definitely. 865-255-03. Chris from Dyer says, I want to hear some of that Charlie Burris trash talk from back in the day. Oh, man.
Pick up basketball game.
I see.
I'm there. You'll hear a little bit
Charlie's
of it.
Charlie's trash talk. Charlie can't trash talk when he's not mad. Charlie can only trash talk when he gets angry.
When you get the
juices flowing.
I judiciously trash talk. I don't just throw time.
Time out.
Swain and I caught the same
time
thing.
Time out. You can't be trash talking. Talking about
big
judiciously.
Words. You can't throw big words into your trash talk.
I mean, I am. You can't. Can't
that's
do that.
Not trash talk.
Okay. It takes too long. You gotta rip them off fast.
Well, this isn't trash talk.
Okay.
By that I mean I pick my situations where I trash. I pick my battles. You know, I'm not just gonna trash talk for no reason. Trash talk when I need to get in somebody's head. When I needed to be off their game.
But you can't drop big words.
But I'm not just going to be like, you know, the other radio shows in Knox will be like, you suckers, your show's not as good as ours. Like, I'm not going to do that.
No, we're talking about just regular trash talk.
Playing basketball, golfing.
Yeah.
Golf. I can throw it out.
You can't use big words trash talk.
I know one thing. You're going to be trash talking me when we play together
I couldn't. And if we're being totally honest... With basketball, I mean, now Lord knows how I would play the game. I haven't played probably in, I don't know.
You're not trash talking, Charlie. I can tell.
Too long. Oh.
Yeah, you're not trash talking.
Charlie's the trash talker that takes it too far.
Nah, he's not.
He goes for the heart, right for the throat.
He's not.
Where I'm just like.
He's not trash talking.
I've researched you.
There's no warm up.
Like,
Charlie's the kid in the student section that passes out the information for each player's girlfriend. That is Charlie in high school.
You don't know how true that is.
Charlie finds out who the girlfriend is of the other basketball team and passes it out.
You don't know how true that is.
Yeah. Charlie would be like Braxton Hartnebrig from the Jamie Foxx show from back in the day. Like super, super, analytical and very, very smart with his digs and would take too long setting it up. You got to strike hot. Like, you ugly, your mama ugly, you sorry, man, you stink. Oh, man, you terrible, man. Scoreboard in your face. Man, you stink. Like, you can't be, well, you know, by the look of your stats, I checked on Wikipedia on my Apple Watch during the break that you didn't have enough stats the last game, so you're not qualified to trash talk at all. You don't have any time for all that.
Underestimating.
You don't have time for that, Charlie.
Underestimating my trash talk ability.
You got to be quick.
I guess we'll find out.
Sad.
You trash.
Sad. One day.
You can't use proper grammar. You trash, yo. That's it. Boom. Keep it moving. Hey, sir. By your Wikipedia page, you did not have more than 100 yards in your previous contest. You stink.
You can golf's a good example where you can trash talk in ways that aren't just straight up trash talk. You know, like in golf, dude slices it, and the decorum is to not say anything at all.
Really?
And you say, you put in a little dig like, that's rough. That's the fifth fairway you miss
Charlie,
today.
Here's how that
gets in their head, and you build it up. And
Charlie, when you're trash talking somebody, if your mom heard your trash talk, would she be disappointed in you?
Depends on the situation, how hot I am at the time.
That's all we need to know.
No, he's not trash.
Sometimes
he's
not sure. Trash talker.
It's okay. He's not trash talker. What we got there on Facebook?
Underestimating good trash talk just because it's not. You trash, you suck, you terrible. Dude, that's elementary trash talk. No. You got to get in somebody's head. You got to wear them down. You got to, like, there's a strategy to trash talk.
They're not going to sit there and listen to you. They're going to be like Kevin Benjamin trying to talk to Cam Newton. They're going to sit there and wait for you to deliver your barb.
I don't sit there and give the Gettysburg address when I'm trash talking.
They don't have time for you to land. They don't have time for you to land. You're circling the runway. You got to land that baby. You got to land it quick. All right, what we got on Facebook Live?
Rodney Cummings has an interesting question. How does the death of the young man from Maryland affect the strength programs around the country?
That's a good question. I think it sets a weird precedent because I don't know. Has the cause of death come out? Was it negligence?
It was heat. Heat had a big factor in it. I'll go back and get the exact quote. But they did not.
He had a heat stroke.
They did not do a cold compress. They did not check his temperature. And here's the thing that's tough. Okay. I'm just speaking from experience. I've been in those workouts where it's 95 degrees outside. And the strength condition coach, they're pounding on you. And you got 20, 40, 50, 60 guys in a group. And everyone responds differently. And everyone responds differently to being tired or pushing through or straining. And you do have some guys that will pretend like they're hurt or they will pretend like they're tired. And then you have other guys who can handle it, who are mentally tougher, who can push through, who don't put their hands on their hips. You know, they put their hands above their head. They don't slump over because they don't want to show you that they're tired. So you got all these different people that handle these workouts differently. And so when you see one guy struggling, how do you know to say, man, this guy has this is a real problem? I guess you have to look at their health, their health history, and then as a trainer, like, you got to be able to pick up on those signs and sit him down and check his temperature and all those things. I mean, a young man lost his life, and that is very, very tragic. I put myself in that situation, being in those workouts, and we had some guys that were hurting, because they were out of shape or because they were a little lazy. Like, how do you handle that? And if you are a strength coach around the country, are you going to say every time someone is, like, double down and really tired, are you going to let that kid get off? Or are you going to just say, you know what, let's make sure that our medical people, because strength conditioning coaches are strength conditioning coaches. You have your medical staff, that's the medical staff. Do you move forward with, okay, let's make sure that our medical staff is around and that when they see signs, they act faster? Because there were a whole hour before they really made any moves with this young man. They didn't check his temperature. They didn't give him, you know, a cold ice towel or anything. That's more, as I look at it, if the medical staff would have done their job sooner, maybe there's a different result. But I could just put myself in the shoes of a strength coach, and you got so many people, you got to push them. We've had guys on our team that had no business running the same times as the defensive lineman, but they were just being lazy that day. And some of our guys would handle it themselves and threaten this position player. And so how do you separate when a guy's really, really struggling and you have a potential life or death situation? Or how do you tell when someone is just dogging it that day because they stayed up late or they don't feel like working out or they're just having a bad day?
They don't have the energy or something, you know, whatever. How do you tell? Well, that's where the medical staff, I think, has to be better. And when they see signs, check the temperature, get in there. Because we can't have this. We cannot have a player dying. We can't have that. It's a really good question. It's a tough conversation to have. It really is. But football is tough. And I know people across the country will look at the Maryland situation and go, how do we make sure we don't have the same situation? But I don't think you can go – I don't think you can swing the pendulum too far to the other side, because you still got to train your team. You still got to build that mental toughness. And you still are dealing with a big group. It'd be one thing if you're training a guy one-on-one, but you're dealing with a big group where you're going to have some players that try to – beat the system. You're going to have some players that are, you know, dragging butt one day. How do you tell? That's going to be tough.
Because I said this to y'all off air, and where you're talking about kind of walking that line between being too tough on guys and not tough enough. Do you think that really at the end of the day, Maryland was doing stuff that's just totally out of the ordinary in college football? I doubt it.
I think
not in the weight room, but they were – some of the things that the strength and conditioning staff are doing to embarrass players are out of the ordinary. Making them eat a bunch of junk food and sweets so that they can verbally assault them.
Yeah, those
and then
things are
that way they wouldn't pass their conditioning test, and then they would have a reason to make them do it all over again. That's not normal.
Yeah, we
I agree with that.
We have multiple guys speak up and, you know, talk about the culture. You probably have a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Jody Denton, he has an opinion and wants to know what you think about it. After seeing what we saw last year and then seeing all the places Pruitt is pulling people from, if Pruitt can turn this into winning football, then I will say he is a maestro.
You mean this team?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, Pruitt's attacking this differently than Butch Jones did, in terms of Butch was emphatic on taking players from the state of Tennessee, whether they were a good fit or not. And Pruitt just, quite frankly, doesn't care where they're from. He just wants the best football player.
The Monday or Tuesday after the orange or white game, I came in here and I had said, based on a conversation with a couple assistant coaches, that these coaches are not looking to build this thing slow. They're not saying, okay, you know, it's going to take time to build it and – Just you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and brick by brick, they wasn't saying that. And if you can sell that as a coach in your first year, great, because you're going to have more security, right? More security, it means more money for you. These coaches are like, we want to build this thing fast. Obviously, you can't do it in a day. Obviously, you can't expect to go win a championship the first year, but I'm not going to say it out loud. I'm not going to say it in the media. No, my expectation is to win every single game now, because that's how champions think. That's how winners think. You're gonna be faced with some limitations. Yes, you are. But I think the efforts to going out and getting Keller Chris and Mondre London and Brandon Kennedy and switching guys' positions and doing all these things let you know that there's a sense of urgency to win now. Now, they may not do it, but the intention is to win now and not say, well, you know, 3 years from now is our target goal. No, man, target goal, first game of the season. Let's go. Yeah. So if Jeremy Pruitt wins 7 regular season games, 8 regular season games, it's a job well done. A job very well done.
I will believe the future is very bright if that happens.
Yeah. I'm willing to say that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
865-200-5503. Stay with us. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Hour 3 of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Today will be sunny and hot with a high of 90, a 30% chance of rain tonight with a low of 70, a 60% chance of showers tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 85 and a low of 70. Saturday, more rain with a high in the low 80s. Weather on the Swain event is brought to you by Be Dry. If your basement is wet or cracked, Be Dry can help. BeDry.com. Big Orange football is better alongside another Tennessee tradition, Mrs. Grissom's Salad. Mrs. Grissom's ready-made snacks and meals are perfect for game day. Crowd favorites like the select pimento cheese and cranberry pecan chicken salad are delicious and easy to grab and go right from the grocery store. Going to the game? Visit Mrs. Grissom's in Vol Village for the must-have panini grilled pimento cheese hot dog. Man, select the best. Select Tennessee's own Mrs. Grissom's. Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Chipotle Chicken Salad, the Chicken Tender Sandwich, or the Kitchen Sink Burrito filled with brisket, pulled pork, and chicken. Not to mention queso, jalapenos, and more. It's called the Kitchen Sink for a reason. Dead End isn't stopping at your plate, though. Be sure to check out their new summer drink offerings, including the Big Orange Crush, My Clementine, or the Tequila Squirt. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The summer flavor search is over. Do you have cracks in your foundation? A wet basement or a nasty, leaky crawl space? Our listeners have heard about them on the Swain event for over a year, and now it's time to make the call. Give Be Dry Waterproofing and Foundation Repair the opportunity to fix your home's problem. Since 1958, that's right, nearly 60 years, Be Dry has been solving basement, crawl space, and foundation problems throughout the country. Be Dry only uses high-quality materials from reputable manufacturers. They back their installations with some of the best warranties in the industry to provide homeowners with added peace of mind. They are truly an A-plus company. Whenever you start experiencing a wet basement, leaky crawl space, or a cracked foundation, remember these three words. Better call Be Dry. Reach out to Be Dry today. Day at 865-662-5238 to schedule your free appointment. That's 865-662-5238. Remember, better call Be Dry.
VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly here with our Men on Football and Smoothie segment. Let's discuss some of our favorite smoothies and how they impact our lives. TK, man, tell me which smoothie comes to mind when you think about playing defense.
Swaino, the Peanut Butter Power Plus and the Power Punch Plus provide the energy needed to make plays every time they take the field. Then you have the Gladiator and the Hulk, nutrition every dominant player has to have. Bottom line, everyone wants to be a dominant player. Now, Swain, you tell me about the offensive side of the ball.
TK, it's simple. You always score with Smoothie King. The Shredder personifies what we are going to do to opposing defenses. The Berry Punch and Activator will light up the scoreboard. And in case we need to go into overtime, the Pure Recharge will put us over the top for the win.
Swaino, you know I love football and Smoothie King. I'm a VFL, a Smoothie King for life. The Chocolate Gladiator and the Chocolate Shredder with the scoop of peanut butter. Oh, that's my go-to smoothie. They get a chest bump all day.
Yes, sir. This concludes our Men on Football and Smoothie King segment for today. Don't forget the Sip by Sip program. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you'll feel and see the difference. Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Delicious and nutritious. TK.
Don't forget the peanut butter. Yeah, boy.
All right, let's get to Andy on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Andy, good morning.
What's going on, Vol Nation?
What's up, Andy?
Well, it's a great day to be a Tennessee Vol.
That's every day, buddy.
And I tell you what, I cannot wait till September 1st. I can't wait to go to Charlotte and see what this team does. Now, I know I've heard from what I've been watching this week that Pruitt's still moving players around. Is that true?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Talked about it in hour one.
I got faith he'll figure it out.
Well, he's moving players around to generate some depth and cross-train guys and prepare for some injuries, stuff like that. So
right.
It's not like he's confused about – you know, what's going on, and that's why he's moving players around. He's absolutely in control of what's going on and knows exactly why he's doing it. So I don't know if there's anything to figure out, But that's why they're moving guys around to cross-train them and get them ready for in case of injury.
I read the other day about Juwan Jennings that hyperextended knee. I hope that'll be all right.
That's, yeah, he'll be fine.
Kind of got me a little bit skittishy right now.
I mean, he played 16 with a knee sleeve and you know, was not 100% at times and did pretty good. So
he still flew up like a rocket, didn't he?
Yeah, he'll be all right. I ain't worried about Juwan Jennings being ready to play football. That's the last person I'm worried about.
Well, y'all have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, Andy, thanks for the phone call. Let's keep it moving, and let's get to Kevin in Houston. Kevin, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jason. How you doing, bro?
Hey, Kevin, man, good to hear from you.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hey, I've, you know, after this, I guess, 10 years of misery with the Dooley years and then, of course, Butch, I'm wondering how many times did Butch go 8 wins or 9 wins? And the reason I ask is, it seems like this fan base and is very skeptical. Well, that's obviously they're skeptical. It's obvious about the potential for wins in the upcoming season. And I know it's essentially spitting into the wind to try and guess, but it just seems to me that there is a lot of hesitation there's a lot of hesitation to give credit to Jeremy Pruitt and his staff as far as their ability to win 8 games. I hear a lot of people talking 6-6 or 7 wins, or, oh, I'll be so ecstatic. And you just touched on something a few minutes ago when you said, you know, the effort to go out and get Keller Crist and Brandon Kennedy and all these players, I feel like I'm the only one that feels the difference in this staff versus the previous years with Butch and Dooley and Kiffin. And I'm talking 9 wins. Because if you look at our schedule, we've got West Virginia. Okay, that's tough. That's going to be a challenge, obviously. But the next 3 games, is anybody really scared of Florida? So I see 4-0. The next 3 games is a pretty bad stretch of road with Georgia, Auburn, and Alabama. But I see us going at least 1-2 in that stretch, you know, with a miracle win. And then the road after that is, if you can't win out that schedule, then what are you doing? And I see great potential for a 9, possibly if we're healthy, a 10-win season. Now, we're suspect at quarterback and whatnot, but I just don't see a great joy or a great drive behind a potential for a high-win season. I don't think that 9 wins is out of the realm of possibility.
Kevin, I appreciate the call.
I love the optimism. I mean, I'll start there.
There is a sense of urgency to win now with the staff. You didn't have that sense of urgency like this staff in 2013. The schedule that Butch inherited, they had to go to Oregon. Had no shot. No shot beating Oregon. No shot. Oregon was a playoff contending program at the time.
They played the national championship game that year, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, again.
This schedule with Auburn, who was – no, 13 was –
13 was Auburn State and, versus Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn and Florida State.
Oh.
But this schedule that Tennessee is playing, where Auburn was a few plays away from being in the college football playoffs because they got beaten in the SEC championship game. You play Georgia, who played in the championship game. You play Alabama. You play all those teams back to back to back. You cannot downplay that. You can't downplay how physical those games are going to be and the toll, the physical toll that it may have on you as a team. You are playing West Virginia to start the season, a team that has the tools to beat you if you're not on top of your game. This is not one of those games where you play UAB and you can warm up. It's a test, a real test early with a new staff, a new head coach, a quarterback who has not played well yet as a Tennessee quarterback, a team that's fractured to the point where you had a lot of infighting going on. You had confidence issues. You look at our last speaker that Tennessee brought in and the things that he was saying, and that is to build a continue to build a confidence of our team. I mean, it's a process. They've been beaten down for the last 3 or 4 years. And so you have to take these things in consideration when you're looking at Tennessee's schedule. And I don't see 9 regular season wins, but that doesn't mean it can't happen. I don't know if we are built depth-wise to be able to go through SEC schedule and with injuries plug in play guys and be able to go out and beat those top teams and win 9 games in the regular season. I don't see that. But I do think the staff is better. I understand folks who say, wait a minute now. Pruitt seems to be a better coach. Seems to know what he's talking about. But I need to see it first. Go do it first. I'm totally on board with that. We're folks who, like, you know, I get excited when I see some wins. I'll get excited when we beat West Virginia and Florida. Let me know when we do that. I wish we had more time to really touch on Kevin's call and dive in a little bit deeper, because I know people got some things on their chest about that phone call. But we will pick up the conversation tomorrow here in the Swain event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Today's lunch special is the mac and cheese skillet. So make sure you go by there. It's topped with burnt ends. It's really good. Good dish there, Dead End Barbecue. For Ben McKee, Charlie Burst, I'm Jason Swain. Have a great day. Peace and love.